Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Are we good?
Yeah.
Sweet. Put that away. Oh, ladies, ladies, I'm back. And
what about the men? Yeah, the vast majority of the listeners. What about the men? 91% at last count.
I've just... was it?
I checked, yeah.
I've isolated them all. Yeah. And chaps, here I am. And Pete is also here.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
And I'm a chap.
Yeah, thanks for that. Luke's here.
All right.
And James, or Jim.
Hello. Oh, hi.
Chaps, I've got an email here, and I'm going to start the show with it. It says, hello there, lads. I'm feeling really sorry for Ashley Cole, once again the target of smutty innuendos by the tabloids. I mean, we have all taken nudie phone pics of ourselves whilst alone in a hotel room, then given the phone to a mate who hands it to another friend who sends the pictures to a topless model whilst pretending it's you sending them or something. as the great man wisely commented, I would laugh if my foot didn't hurt so much.
Just sounds like he's gone mental, doesn't it?
On a completely unrelated note, I have a question for you. What's the biggest pile of shit a footballer has ever come up with to get himself out of trouble? Pete, peace or war, Ryan?
I think Ashley Cole's getting quite well versed in doing that now.
Yeah. He doesn't know what's true and what isn't anymore.
So, chaps, an excuse a footballer's come up with to get himself out of trouble.
Me?
Luke
first. You're
pointing
at me?
Luke first.
Okay.
Otherwise, you'll talk over whoever.
I'm going to go for a goalkeeper.
Yes, we all like goalkeepers.
David J-Mo James.
Yes. Ooh, what's this one?
Who is he's a man close to my heart, especially after last weekend, obviously. And he came up with a great one when he was at Liverpool. He went for a couple of clangers. You know when he used to be absolutely abysmal at crosses?
Yeah. Calamity James.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Big flapping hands.
Yeah.
Flapping everything.
His excuse for being rubbish when he went for a terrible patch was that he was staying up all night playing computer games.
Oh, I remember this.
He managed to make it worse.
There was a particular game, wasn't there? It was away to Middlesbrough. It might have been League Cup, or it may have just been League. And the Middlesbrough beat them 2-1, and he made a couple of errors.
Mm. He said, I've basically been up all night playing Super Nintendo. They said, well, that's not making it better. That's not like one of those excuses that actually makes it worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Super Nintendo's crap, aren't they?
Oh, come on.
Mario Kart.
Genesis man.
My favourite ever console, so.
Didn't he make some huge error from a goal kick in that game, if
yes,
I remember
rightly? Yes, he did. Very well done, James.
Yeah. Didn't he also blame his haircut once? He'd had a fancy haircut done as he
changed his hair like the weather.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure he blamed his hair. He was a little bit distracted.
He did refer to the hairdressers or the barbers as the haircut shop.
No, it was the haircutting shop.
Oh, right. He also did one where he said he wasn't emotionally prepared to come off the bench for England, didn't he, as well?
Is that right?
You remember that? That was reasonably recently.
Was he really?
He had to come on off the bench for England, and he didn't do that well, and he said, oh, I wasn't emotionally prepared for it.
Didn't he also chain himself to a tree a little while ago as part of some sponsored sort of thing to do
tree
with
training.
Not cutting down loads of trees?
I heard he punched a dog.
Underrated mental again, David James. Yeah, we've just uncovered it.
But a nice David, one. But a nice
yeah,
one.
Yeah. A gentle giant. Mm.
An art-loving giant.
Yes. Mm.
So mine is David James. What do you know about excuses?
James.
I'm going to go for Chris Coleman when he was caught out all night in a student bar in Spain and then said that his washing machine had gone mental and flooded his house.
That was
why he was late for training.
It was in Spain.
I love a good old-fashioned non sequitur, man.
Was it real Sociedad?
Yeah, it was. I believe
okay,
so.
Okay.
Yeah, good one.
Yeah, I like that.
We've all been there.
Well, hang on, right. Whoa.
Pete's
headlights, put it in neutral.
As a lot of people probably asked at the time, how does that How does you flooding your house?
Yeah.
Oh, what it was, I think it was, he turned up late and...
No, the excuse was he turned up late for training. He said it was because his washing machine broke. Yeah, but he got found out to be out all night on the piss, didn't he?
Oh, that was
in a student bar, just at some student union. Really bizarre. Was he doing a turn there?
It's just that's where all the girls are going to be, mate.
He
hasn't got an NUS card. How did he get in?
he was also the guy who got his car bugged by his missus, isn't he?
That's right. Yeah.
He once
she's driven him to it
when he was
good
naughty. He once he was a pundit on Sky Sports. I forget which show. It was maybe one of the like the Football League show, perhaps.
Yeah.
And he turned up and he didn't have a suit on. He didn't have a shirt and tie.
Yeah.
And that's the requirement of what you wear. So he had to borrow.
That's all your qualifications.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, we've been on Sky. We know that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and so he had to borrow. They had to just get us whatever they could find.
Well,
and
you know,
a drawing.
Yeah.
Exactly. But you know, drawing of a tie.
Cut one out.
You know, David Bowman, the big lad, quite a broad guy, does Sky Sports News. He had to borrow one of his blazers, and it was massive on him.
It's just poor.
That's great stuff.
Actually, Coleman was very good for excuses as a manager, wasn't he? He'd always find some reason why it wasn't just that Fulham had played terribly.
He's not in
some
like
sort of external sort of thing. No, but he was still very well versed in that.
I mean, the Statler and Waldorf of excuses for managers are definitely Steve Bruce and Neil Warnock.
Well, we'll move on to Warnock in a bit. But, Pete, what have you got for us?
I'm not really sure where to go for. Alex Ferguson, not strictly a footballer, but he was a footballer, and he's giving an excuse for a football match.
Well, this is in the realm of football.
I think so.
No one's going to take exception.
But, the football realm, all.
Yeah.
But, when Manchester United were playing that grey kit, he blamed a bad performance against Southampton because they couldn't see each other in the grey kit.
That's right. They were finding it hard to pick each other out.
But also there's one where Bill Shankly, I don't know whether it got up for Bill Shankly or not, where he blamed the fact that they lost 7-2 to Spurs on the fact that, well, he basically said, we would have won if... Jimmy Greaves hadn't scored 4 goals against us.
But you still wouldn't.
Still wouldn't. Yeah. Still doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. What's your one then, Marcus?
I'm going to go for the famous... I think we mentioned it before on the show, the famous Robbie Fowler celebration where he appeared to go...
A cow eating the grass.
That's right. When he scored against Everton at Anfield in a Liverpool derby, of course, and... He celebrated in front of them by appearing to snort the white lines on the pitch.
Because they sort of say that he looks like a bit of a smackhead, don't they?
No, because cows prefer to eat grass if it's white.
Through their nose.
Yeah.
That's right. And they tried to palm it off by saying that's what they, when they celebrate in training, that's what they do.
He's like a cow eating the grass, he does it all the time in training.
Why would you celebrate
in
training?
Didn't he say that? Something about like a... Was it, I want to say Jimmy Traore. Something like Jimmy Traore won't make him do it or something.
Was he there at that time?
I don't know if it's him. Might have been. It's some player.
Blame Traore.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a good one anyway.
Honourable mentions?
Anton Ferdinand.
Yeah, yes.
A good one.
When he went across to go to some massive party in Chicago or something, but he told his gaffer that he was going to the Isle of Wight to visit his nan. You're going to get found out.
You are.
There was another...
Silly, no one lives on the Isle of Wight. Everyone
another,
knows
another excuse involving a nan, wasn't there? For a...
Yes, a couple of nans, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. Go on.
Stephen Ireland, wasn't it?
Yeah. I thought you were going to tell a Wayne Rooney story there.
That's a different kettle of fish, that is.
He went to the Isle of Nans for sex.
Well, of course, that was when Stephen Ireland went home to Ireland from being on international duty because he said his nan had died, which of course wasn't the case, and that was his excuse. But the point.
But the other thing was that he then said it was his other nan when the original nan was discovered alive and well, wasn't it? And then the second nan was also discovered alive and well.
So many nans.
Nan squared is what he's done there.
Well, I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
The points need to be dished out, and they're going to James or Jim.
Yes! It's been a while.
Luke's annoyed
I'd
that.
Like to thank Luke, Marcus and Pete for continuing support.
You're not happy with that, Luke?
No.
Chris Coleman was out of left field.
It's true, yeah. I didn't see it coming. I have to give him that. Surprise value.
Well, let's cheer you up, Luke. I could never live a life
without Arsenal. Not really, no. That's not
the,
really.
That's the Arsenal group, the Arsenal group, the away boys with a Z.
Strangely, that's almost, in a way, made me feel worse.
Mm. I could...
terrible.
Did someone email us with that?
Yeah. Everyone's been sending in their favourite rubbish football songs.
In response to that terrible, terrible Villa song. But this Arsenal one, I actually think it's worse.
Disagree.
Really? Pete's with you, I think, but me and Marcus disagree.
And I'll tell you why I disagree. Because the intro, I think it's the first or second bite, it's a nice little pluck of the guitar, I think. Is there nice, or is there something there?
I think we can all agree the Villa one's got no redeeming features whatsoever. No.
Well, the Villa one sounds like a sort of MIDI track, but they've both got that sort of the thing in common where it's a kind of like a kind of COD reggae.
Yeah.
It seems to be a sort of common style of music to go with terrible, misguided.
The intro's definitely better on the Arsenal one, so therefore that's why.
We'll have to post a link to the Away Boys website. It's truly awful. One of the songs on there, one of the lines is "Halftime in the bar, have a line and a jar."
That's now, absolutely.
I've been to the Emirates. You could never get away with that.
No. Unless you're Robbie Fowler.
Oh, political.
Backlink. Professional.
Right then. FA Cup. We're going to have to talk about Southampton versus Portsmouth because...
Oh, that's a shame. I'm gutted about that.
Because, should we just go and like, get some food for a bit? You want to yeah.
No, because he'll come with
us
and he won't talk.
Food.
We're going to have to mention Southampton versus Portsmouth, otherwise that beardy twat won't...
He's got nothing to say
steady.
About it.
I did like what Avram Grant said. He said, if you win, you make 250,000 other people happy. That is what football is all about. If I wrote a book about Portsmouth, it would be a bestseller.
Yeah, well.
Because he sees the passion at everyone at the club.
You got to love Uncle Avi, haven't you?
Uncle Avi.
He's a good lad. He's a good lad. Come on, he's a good lad.
Do you know why he looks like the Emperor from Return of the Jedi, which is a bit old.
Or Baron von Silas Greenback from Danger Mouse.
But do you not get the impression? Yeah. Do you not get the impression with Avram Grant? If he wasn't in the game in a professional capacity, he'd still be down like doing like a Sunday league team or a kids team or something. Yes. He loves the game, and I think you've got to respect him for that. And I'm not just saying that because he's Pompey, because I think he did a pretty good job. I mean, they're only one kick away from winning the Champions League.
Yeah.
You know, and all right, it was Mourinho's team, but Avram Grant still had a big part to play.
You still
got
to get them there.
Yeah. So
Mourinho didn't get him there, did he?
No, exactly. So I think I like Avram. He's a good lad.
I did like it when he went over to the fans. And he was pointing at them and thumbs up and doing the bow.
I think he's been really dignified the way he's sort of been.
That is my favourite Avram Grant moment. Or when they beat, was it Liverpool in the semi-final? He dropped to his knees in celebration.
Yeah. Class.
Do you remember that at Stamford Bridge?
His piss drinking wife's quite funny as well.
Oh come on! It's lowered the tone.
Well, she did. She drank piss on telly.
Yeah, that's true.
Why did she drink piss on telly?
Some weird Israeli TV show she was involved in.
I think she's an Israeli TV presenter.
Yeah.
The most important thing is that Portsmouth beat Southampton at Southampton. And
he enjoyed that.
I loved it.
Absolutely. Jamie O'Hara, not a bad player.
He's a class above, he is. He's
one to watch.
I actually think he's better than Jermaine Jenas.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I'm better than Jermaine Jenas. Jesus.
He looked good when he was at Spurs, like sort of properly, to be fair to him.
Yeah, he sort of he broke through in there and he sort of went off the ball a little bit. But he's loving it down at Portsmouth. He's playing football. He ran the show. And okay, it's against League One opposition. But, you know, he ran the show there, and I think he was a difference between the team, especially on the pitch.
Did David James cement his, or make a claim for the number one spot in England?
David James had a funny game because he made some great saves, but he also made a couple of errors as well.
He made two fantastic saves.
Yeah, he did. And he shouldn't have had a chance to make those either, by the way. They should have been buried.
Mm. To be honest, BioShock 2's just come out, so he's probably doing quite well.
Exactly, yeah.
To be honest.
It's to be expected.
Might have had a lot of sleep, will he?
Yeah. No, he's substituted computer games for his art now. He's much more grown up. But, you know, I think that if Southampton had taken their early chances in the first half, it would have been game over, you know. Mm. So Portsmouth managed to hang in there and they rode the luck a little bit. But, I mean, Southampton at the back, defending, especially in the later stages of the game, was absolutely suicidal.
Yeah.
They had to chase the game and they got caught out.
Nice little cash injection for Portsmouth.
Yeah.
But is it too little too late?
Well, I think it's pretty...
I was thinking about this.
Drop in the ocean, isn't it?
I think Avram should take that money, go into a casino, Red 17.
You reckon, yeah?
Well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could get them out in one swift swoop. Yeah. They could
but
be
but
the 11
the way, on the way at the casino, there's a brothel.
Yeah. The worrying thing about that,
allegedly,
Marcus, is under the current stewardship of Portsmouth, that may find its way into being a serious idea.
No, to be honest, mate, if they had any sense, they'd take half the money and do that and put the rest on the lottery.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah.
Well, Peter Story...
Yeah, just buy, like, 200,000 lottery tickets or whatever.
Peter Story was saying that... I'll do everything I can to keep Pompey around. And whenever he gets questioned...
Well, now, he's going to start doing that now.
Yeah, well, whenever he gets questioned about what his role in the old downfall, he always comes back with, well, if people don't want me here, I'll go. Yeah. And then
did you not see the people shouting?
Yeah. Open your ears, man.
And then he goes, I can't be responsible for what the owners do, what decisions they make. And it's like, well, you're sort of a chief executive, you know. It's really mostly your fault, isn't it?
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
And then it's the first time he's been moaning about someone putting money in his face, because against Southampton, all the fans were waving money at them.
Oh, were
they? Story said it was like abuse. This is assault, you know.
Oh, right, yeah. Yeah.
Unbelievable,
oh, I love
Jeff.
It.
You're not a fan of Peter Steele?
I'm not, though. No. David James, though, he said something else quite funny afterwards, and this will probably anger Southampton fans, but I don't care. He said...
I do. I love you.
He said in the post-match interview, he said, it's a great day for Hampshire, and Gabriel Clark went, what, one half of Hampshire? And David James went, yeah, the important half, as far as I'm concerned. Big shout. Big talk.
It is big talk.
Yeah. But in fairness, Southampton, you know, they had chances to win that game, and 4-1 is very harsh on them, but you know, that's football, you know, just the way it goes. They've had a lovely day out, bless them.
Let's move on from debt-ridden clubs with controversial owners. Crystal Palace. Thank you.
He's good, isn't he?
Drew with Villa 2-2. Neil Warnock not happy with the officials yet again.
Neil Warnock is an anagram of Colin Wanker.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. Did you figure that out? Was it one of
them? No, I read that somewhere.
Yeah. Okay, that's excellent stuff. He said, when talking about the referee, he said, this was because Villa were awarded a corner 3 minutes towards the end, which they subsequently scored from. And according to Warnock and Crystal Palace, it clearly wasn't a corner. And he said, he wasn't happy with the officials. He said, I spoke with Mr. Massey. And what he said was, when I watch it at home, if I was wrong, then I may be suspended. Warnock said, well, I don't feel any sympathy if he is suspended. I hope it is for a long time.
Bit harsh.
And he said, I said to him, when you're sat on your settee, when you're suspended, will you think about us?
Well, he said it like a settee's a really decadent item.
Yeah.
When you're sat on
when
your
lounging
on
your chaise lounge.
Oh, which I can afford a settee.
but the funny thing was, Warnock went on to say, because this is actually probably... you know, financially a good thing, because an away match to Villa will get them more revenue than a home match against Reading or West Bromwich Albion, which I think is the draw they've got. He said, well, it would have been flat today if we'd have won and then seen that draw, so maybe this is the best result for everybody.
One thing, they both went on Colin Murray's show on Five Live, didn't they? In the aftermath to this,
right.
Neil Warnock and Martin O'Neill went on and were talking about it. Mm. And Neil Warnock was like giving it the big un.
Yeah.
And as soon as Martin O'Neill came on the phone, Warnock was like a spectacular climb down. It was like, oh, well, you know, it's just the way it goes. Because Martin O'Neill comes straight on and went, boom, you had a corner you shouldn't have had a corner for against Wolves in the last round, or one of the other rounds of the cup, and you scored from it, and you wouldn't have gone through without it, and Mick McCarthy didn't complain. And Warnock was like,
wow.
Oh, yeah. So it was quite good.
That is great.
It was pretty genial, really. I'm probably making it sound much worse than it was, but that was basically the size of it.
But going mental like he did over a corner. Mm.
But you've got to bear in mind, though, these people are all getting interviewed like straight after the game, right?
Well,
you're
course,
most angry,
yeah.
So you're gonna say things that you probably regret a bit
later.
Did
you see the sort of potted history of like the couple of days before the match at the that ITV put on, where he's having his hair cut and one of us having his hair cut? He's going, I'm probably the most hated man in the world, probably. I don't
really care. Colin Wanker, they call me. It's just my parents if you jumble it up.
Then O'Neill was piping up about how Palace had a corner and the guy taking the corner wasn't in the quadrant properly, so that shouldn't have counted either, all this other stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It got a bit silly.
But
Warnock's got a track record in there. Warnock's got previous
big
all this
time,
sort of stuff.
Big
remember
time.
When he was at Sheffield United and they went down and the whole Tevez thing?
Oh my goodness.
He still give him half a chance, he'll still moan about that.
Yeah. To be honest, actually, I met Neil Warnock once and he's a really sound fella. Really sound fun.
And yeah, until you wrong him, and he pursues the biggest vendetta in the history of football.
But he's so funny, though. You know, like you were saying with Avram Grant, how he would be involved in football in any level.
Yeah.
Well, Warnock would definitely be like that. And I said, you know, how it was kind of when he'd taken over at Palace and then he kind of got them going a bit. And they finished in the playoffs that year. I think Bristol City beat them. And I said, you know, how are you getting on at Palace and all? And he said, Oh, I tell you what, when I took over there, it was a right estate. But we're trying to sort it out, so, you know, I keep telling the people, have a bit of faith.
Oh, really?
We'll sort it out, you know, and all this sort of stuff. He was a good man.
He's supposed to go to QPR, somebody was saying.
There's talk of him going there, isn't there? Yeah, there is talk of him going there. Yeah, I'm not sure what's going to happen with that. Because obviously Palace are in big trouble, so...
Oh, you reckon?
It'll be a terrible time for a manager to leave that club, to be honest.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. And also, you know, your life expectancy—the life expectancy as a manager of QPR is about the same as a fighter pilot in World War One.
Yeah, that's also a fly.
Yeah, 2 to 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, Derby lost to Birmingham 2-1 in the dying seconds, and Robbie Savage kicked a ball at the linesman's balls.
Robbie Savage also very nearly scored one of the best goals I've ever seen.
Agreed.
Right to death.
Yeah. There's a great save from Joe Hart. I tell you, the lower league sides really. Did themselves proud. I thought, you know, Palace were unlucky not to beat Villa, Derby were unlucky not to draw, and I thought Cardiff did okay at Chelsea.
Well, Southampton were the better side against Portsmouth.
Well, and Southampton,
65-70 minutes.
Lest we forget. And
I mean, speaking of the lower league sides doing well, really, without going back into this too much, the only real difference between Portsmouth and Southampton was David James and probably Jamie O'Hara. And in the second half, when Southampton had to come out and really go for the game, obviously because it was a cup game and a 2-1 defeat's no good to anyone, they pulled their right back across to take long throws from left midfield and just didn't cover. It's a bit of a schoolboy. So they just got smashed on the break. And, yeah. And if you do that against a Premier League side, no matter how rubbish they are, and Pompey are rubbish, you're going to get obliterated with people like Bell Hadj and Quincy, those people, those sort of players with pace. And really, that was the only difference.
Yeah.
It was never a 4-1 game. It was, you know, Pompey would have been happy to get away with 2-1 there, you know, so, but it's just one of those things. But overall, like you say, the lower league sides did excellently well.
Chelsea beat Cardiff 4-1, and John Obi Mikel said that Carlo Ancelotti went absolutely mental at them at half time.
Yeah.
He said he went mad at us. He shouted us.
Was it 1-1 at half time, was it?
It was. He said he shouted at us in English and Italian, everything. When he's mad, he mixes everything up. I quite like that.
Yeah, I like the idea of that. Just this crazy man, just sort of fluctuating between different languages, hopefully in the same sentence.
He always raises his left eyebrow when he says anything.
Some of the defending, I mean, Drogba's first goal against Cardiff, some of the defending there is absolutely suicidal.
Yeah. Actually, on the subject of terrible defending, West Brom against Reading, the first goal that was in like, it's like 10
seconds,
it was unbelievable.
Because that's what Roberto Di Matteo said in the post-match interview, didn't he? And the interviewer asked like a really stupid question and said, oh yeah, I don't expect you were planning to concede a goal so early. And Di Matteo went, no, we were actually. let's give a goal away in the first 10 seconds and take it from there.
Nice. Yeah, yeah. And they say it's the lowest form of humour.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
The Premier League could be introducing something rather new soon. In a playoff for the fourth UEFA Champions League spot. The proposal is believed to have been raised at a meeting of the 20 Premier League clubs, which would see the top three progressing as normal, with the teams finishing fourth to seventh meeting in a playoff, like the playoffs in the Championship to get promoted.
If they lose in those playoffs, those teams, then they then go into the UEFA Cup?
The shortest cup competition in the world.
Yeah. I mean, call me cynical.
I honestly don't know about that. It must do.
That's a good point.
If that goes through, I guarantee you that'll be a way of sneaking in that 39th game through the back door and they'll play those games overseas.
I don't know.
That's what they'll do. Call me cynical.
Maybe just chuck Rangers and Celtic in as well. Yeah, make it this big confusing mess.
How can that be good? Especially in a World Cup year as well.
Imagine the games though. The games would be brilliant. I mean, it would be a massive, massive fixture congestion. And obviously, as an Arsenal fan, I would probably lose out sooner rather than later. But it would make it interesting. It would be a real sort of exciting finish to the season. Because they did it in Holland, didn't they? But they stopped doing it. Something to do with... There was a lot of crowd trouble because the games were getting really heated, which is a really bizarre thing. Obviously, they're all really stoned all the time, aren't they? But no, it's just
calm it down.
I don't agree with it.
I've got to say, I'm dead against it.
I'd enjoy watching the games, to be fair.
Boys, the thing about football...
Perhaps not this season, because you've got your Man Cities and your Aston Villa sort of breaking up.
I think it's exciting
I think looking at who's finished 1-4 in the preceding seasons, I think... There's a reason why they're doing it.
Yeah, and you it's unfair on the fourth team as well, because you've earned that spot.
Yeah,
you've earned that over a league season.
That's the argument in the Championship. You've earned the third spot, but then the team who finishes sixth.
There's that argument which has been sort of done to death, like you said, in the lower leagues. But the point of the matter is, you shouldn't have a seventh place team going into the Champions League.
No, that's right.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I know it'll probably be seeded and that sort of stuff, very much like the playoffs are. But I might have got this wrong. Call me old-fashioned or whatever. I'd rather see the champions of Malta go in. than the seventh place in England. Yeah. Because what it does is it doesn't... The champions of Malta go in, at least they're champions of their country.
Yes,
and so they get a bit of the money, so they can invest that money from the Champions League into their infrastructure and maybe build themselves up and do a little bit more next season. Portsmouth could have gone in it.
Well,
absolutely. Blackburn, if you look at the teams who finished seventh compared to the teams that finished fourth.
Oh, yeah, someone like Fulham could have got that.
A lot of the time, mate, 20 points difference.
Yeah.
You know, you could feasibly get into the Champions League by getting like 52 points or something in the Premier League. It's not good enough.
If you look at the situation Liverpool had when they won the Champions League but didn't actually qualify, they would have had to play those playoff games, then play the Champions League final as well. That's a huge... I mean, obviously that's quite unlikely to happen, but it's a huge, huge sort of ask on any team. It's one that needs a lot of thought, and I don't know.
Bring back the cup winners and the Anglo-Italian. That's what I said.
The Anglo-Italian was a lovely little touch. I've seen a fair few of those games myself.
If we bring back enough cups so that as long as you don't get relegated, you get into Europe in some way, then everyone's happy.
Yeah. Some kind of Europa League, maybe.
A Eurosh Cup.
The terrible bloke that is Sepp Blatter has dropped another clanger.
Let's not judge him.
No, let's.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's just give him enough rope.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's put him back to zero. Okay.
No.
And see where we get with this story.
Okay, right. Yeah. Give him a chance.
Give Sepp a chance.
Yeah.
Sepp Blatter has claimed that in some countries, John Terry would have been applauded rather than sacked as national team captain for having an alleged affair. With regards to the whole debacle, he said, "Listen, this is a special approach in the Anglo-Saxon countries. If this had happened in, say, Latin countries, then I think he would have been applauded."
It's massively offensive to two different groups of people in one fell swoop. Yeah.
He just finds
what
more...
What a prick.
Yeah. He just somehow manages to find more and more ways of being a massive twat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You think he's exhausted all of them?
Truly, truly incredible. Yeah. It'll be suggested maybe, you know, someone of a higher moral fortitude can take over the captaincy from Terry. Maybe a Marlon King or a Lee Hughes.
Yeah. If I was Sepp Blatter's wife, the alarm bells would be ringing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
What a dreadful bloke. So,
if John Terry was, say, president of FIFA, his wife might have a more relaxed view of it. Yeah.
John Terry is president of FIFA. I wish he'd never said that. Possibly the only thing that could be worse than Sepp Blatter.
My giddy aunt.
Just a horrible chauvinist. But much worse than Sepp Blatter, you know, going around parking in disabled bays and stuff all over Europe and not just England.
The thing about the Sepp Blatter saying that is he doesn't have to say that.
No.
All he needs to say
get
is...
get involved.
Yeah, who does his PR? Who does his PR?
Some Dolly Bird, probably.
But all if he thinks it's a little bit over the top, all he could say is, you know, I just think it's a load of nonsense. Let him get on with his private life and let him do...
How do these people who are completely unable to apply any sort of pragmatism to anything that they say becomes the head of organisations?
Managed to do a football podcast.
There's no, like, in a voice going, "Hey, Seb, maybe you shouldn't say that, Seppy."
Seb, come on, Seb. You spent 35 years in the public eye. Surely you've learned something. Oh, you haven't. You haven't. Excellent.
Ladies' teams should have shorter and shorts. Yeah. Yeah.
35 years.
I think it's about that.
It is.
Absolute cock.
35 years.
How do you apply for that job?
Do you reckon? I tell you what, Jack Warner, and if he's listening, this is a little money making tip for you. All he needs to bet, like, I bet you within a month, Sepp's going to drop an absolute clanger.
Yeah. No betting company in the world will give you a market.
No. I don't think they do that sort of bet, do they? It's like, could you go in a betting shop and say, "I'll give you a tenner if I can do a handstand for 20 minutes." Yeah. I know that's fundamentally getting the fundamentals of betting wrong, but still, I'm pretty sure you can't bet on things like that.
My favourite story about a bet was in a local newspaper. It was like, I think it was the Islington Gazette. It sort of said, this fellow was talking about his son, who was in a under five tournament or something, and he's saying, "Oh, my son's really, really good. I've put on a bet that he will be an England under 21 international." Why under 21?
How much?
I had this much faith in you to be an under 21.
Yeah, not a full international. I just didn't want to.
Wayne Rooney.
It's Chris Kirkland's dad.
Chris Kirkland's dad.
Famously did it.
Also, there was a guy who put on a significant amount of money. It was this couple savings, I think, that Xabi Alonso would score from before or around the halfway line.
No, it was for his own half.
Right. Yeah. And his wife divorced him because she was so furious about it. And then he did it. Yeah. And the money came in, which is brilliant.
He don't want her back now. He's not going to back him up.
He can buy a better wife.
Yeah.
No, Wayne Rooney's dad also betted when he was like 12 years
did
old.
He?
Or uncle, was it?
I know.
That he would play in the 2006 World
it
Cup.
It was his uncle, you're right, yeah.
And
yeah, yeah.
Obviously he got injured and he was absolutely grabbing it. But, but he was all right, I think. Well, he was all right because he played. Well, let's move away from ridiculously outspoken people in the game of football. Diego Maradona.
Oh, you're proud of that link, aren't you?
Oh, I did signpost it for you. He's said no to Juan Roman Riquelme. If there was any glimpse of hope that he might get back into that Argentine side, he says no. It's a closed subject. I called Riquelme up last March and he didn't come. I love how he plays. I hope he returns to his best form for Boca Juniors who need him. That's what he said.
Makes me a bit sad.
Yeah, shame. Because I really, really thought that those two men could sort out their differences.
Oh, you were so
which
naive,
is the foolish, most foolish thought I've probably ever had.
It wasn't very likely, but it would have been nice.
Yeah.
It involves a climb down from one of them, and that's just not going to happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I will not pick one more player.
No.
He's picked so many players.
He's picked over 100.
I'm not going to go mad.
Yeah.
Pick Riquelme.
Well, that's right. Well, he's also Maradona's hit out at Jorge Valdano, who is the director general at Real Madrid, of course.
And makes him sound like sort of leading some evil army, which in a way he is.
Yeah.
Valdano is well known as like a real like intelligent thinker and sort of philosophizer around the game.
Well, very much so. He was also a teammate of Maradona's at international level for Argentina. But Maradona's angry because he's saying he's not doing enough to help the Argentine national team. People in glass houses.
Well, he's saying he's not, releasing players and stuff.
Well, what he's saying is, Maradona said Valdano is one of the biggest rivals to Argentina at the moment because first he sent Gabriel Heinze away from Real Madrid.
Maybe, what's wrong with that?
Maybe Heinze wasn't good enough.
Heinze is really not that good.
Yeah, he isn't.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's Valdano's job. If the manager's not picking it,
he's
not good enough.
But I think, to be fair to El Diego, he's only really asking people to do what he would do himself. See, if Maradona was in charge of Real Madrid and Heinze was there, he'd still play him, even if he was rubbish. So he's only asking him to do what he would do himself.
He's also saying he's now preventing Fernando Gago from leaving Real Madrid in search of regular football.
Well, that's a double standard, surely.
And then he says he knows... they are two players that I have in mind for the World Cup. Fortunately, Gabriel Heinze is somewhere he can play, but Fernando doesn't play and I can't.
So what's the original problem then?
Well, exactly. He then went on to say about Gonzalo Higuain. He said, even though he is scoring more goals than Benzema and Raul, he's not getting into the side. He says, I think it's disgusting that an Argentinian is preventing other Argentinians from playing regularly. I know that many things are decided by coach Manuel Pellegrini, but it seems
to me... Well, he sort of picks the team.
But it seems to me that Valdano is not doing enough to help our guys.
I think we can file that under the usual Diego Maradona in World Revolves Around Me shocker.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Good value. Can't wait to see him at the World Cup.
Oh my goodness.
Amazing. I can't wait to see those belly slides on the touchline.
It's going to be
trying to make four substitutions. Also,
it's going to. I imagine there's going to be some genuinely sort of iconic moments from El Diego at the World Cup. He's not finished with being a mentalist on the world stage yet, is he?
His last iconic World Cup moment was grabbing that camera at a Coke fueled.
Yeah.
In World Cup 94 when he scored.
Yeah.
Before getting sent home in disgrace. Yeah.
Genuinely terrifying, that.
Yeah. But going back to this, I just love how... Well, there's an Argentinian man there, so he's surely for the good of... Yeah. Of me and Argentina.
But he's so passionate about Argentina.
He does think like that, though.
Yeah, he does.
I mean, you guys have read his book. He really just thinks that's normal.
Well, like I said, he's only asking people to do what he would do himself. He genuinely would do it himself.
Yeah,
you know.
That's
he'd pick all Argentinian players if he could.
Yeah.
if he was manager of Real Madrid.
I mean, it doesn't matter that Valdano is actually... Well, he isn't picking the team, A, which is, I think, the biggest point we can make here. And B, he is the director general at Real Madrid. At Real Madrid.
I really think that if Maradona ever got the job at Real Madrid, they would try and take over the world. He'd be like a Bond villain.
Yeah. Would they like invade other clubs?
Guardiola would have to come and try and save the world.
Yeah. That would be amazing.
The Bernabeu would just sort of shake out of its roots and just walk around Spain trying to destroy other stadiums.
Yeah, they would. They'd invade. Yeah.
And that sort of thing happens in Latin countries. That's accepted.
Well, it's applauded, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Stadiums stomping down the streets.
And you lot taking the piss out of all that was a typical Anglo-Saxon response.
Yeah.
Well, let's stay in Spain and we'll talk about Primera Liga. Atletico Madrid beat Barcelona.
2-1. First defeat of the season.
Not only the first defeat, it's the first time they've ever been behind in a game this season, in the league, I believe.
Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it?
And it gets worse for them. They've got an awful lot of injury problems. And Keita got injured after about 2 minutes.
Yeah, he's out for a month, they reckon. But, I mean, there were an understrength Barcelona side with regards to the back four. I mean, you had Messi and Ibrahimovic and Iniesta and Xavi playing. So yeah. I mean, they still had enough, aren't they?
Atletico are very good going forward, aren't they? So Forlan scored a lovely little one.
Simao scored a good free kick.
Had a great free kick. And whilst the Atletico keeper made a couple of good saves, apart from that, really... Second half, Atletico were pretty comfortable.
Yeah.
Mm. And Barca didn't really look like, sort of, didn't look like winning it at all.
Ibrahimovic scored for the first time in 2 months.
He's had a bit of a dry spell, yeah.
Messi very nearly scored a belter quite late on, didn't he?
But I think Atletico were worthy. They're worth their win. And I was, you know, it was me. I said before the game, I said to everyone, anyone who's watching, that tune in because Atletico could win this because Barca was so under strength.
Yeah.
And Atletico are so good going forward. And they got an excellent result.
Aguero looked good as well. I mean, he didn't score obviously, but you know,
he did have a lively game. He missed a sitter, but
physically, he does look good. I think he's a very attractive man.
He is, yeah, very, very good looking. Yeah.
Married
to Maradona's daughter, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well,
don't settle for less than the best.
Ronaldo got a brace for Real, but the big news with Real is they have signed Sergio Canales.
Yeah. He's going back to Racing for a year on loan.
Is it just a year?
I thought it was 2 years.
It's the rest of this year and next year, definitely. Right. I don't know about the year after that.
Okay. Someone made this point on our Facebook page, but I mean, is that going to affect his head, do you think? Will his heart really be...
I think
be
his head will
wrestling?
Stay the same shape.
Yeah. He's bound to get a haircut.
He might do. I think it's a weird one, isn't it? Because, I mean, with Real... It's, you know what I mean when I said like a year is such a long time at Real Madrid.
Yeah. Oh, big time.
Who knows what's going to be happening in the years?
Diego could well be walking around the world in the Bernabeu.
Well, Diego's campaigning against. He's not Argentinian.
Yeah, exactly.
He's personally holding Canales responsible if he keeps anybody out the side.
So it's good that Canales gets another year at Racing, so he'll play a lot more football than otherwise. Yeah. But I'm a bit sad because it's only a personal thing. I'd like to have seen him gone to Barcelona or something, or even Arsenal. That'd be nice because we could watch him every week.
Or just stay there for a bit. You know, it'd be nice. The big clubs do seem to hoover up these players more so than ever.
Yeah. He's clearly not listened to both of you, and he's gone to Madrid. Villarreal and Athletic Bilbao had a mental finish.
That was the greatest end to a game I've seen for ages. That's brilliant.
Sendings off.
Yeah, and everything.
Penalty misses.
Villarreal were 2-1 up, but Athletic Bilbao scored an absolute bullet.
It was a great one.
Yeah, yeah. Is it Gabilondo who scored, I think?
Why
it
not?
Was.
Why
yeah.
not?
And so anyway, it was 2-1 with about 5 minutes left to Villarreal, and they got a penalty. They got this new, Bilbao got this new little wonder kid, Muniain, I think his name is, 19. He skipped past the Villarreal defender and won a penalty. It's about 3 or 4 minutes left. It's 2-1.
Yeah.
Anyway, Diego Lopez.
Weak penalty.
Yeah, Diego Lopez saved it, and they immediately broke up their run and almost scored to go 3-1. And then it all went mental. A high ball come over. Javi Martinez and Godin went up for it. Both led with the elbow. Both caught each other. Both hit the deck. Then Godin had a little kick.
He did. It was a real
petulant. They both held their face, both stood up, both got sent off. Couldn't believe it. Then the bench exploded and the referee ran over and set the coach off. Then someone from the crowd threw a water bottle at the ref. It was mental.
There was another scene.
Yeah, then later on someone else got sent off, and it finished 2-1. But it was amazing.
Yeah,
is this a ramble tube moment?
There was basically about three games worth of action squeezed into about 4.5 minutes. It was amazing. And the Villarreal got some side. They got some great players.
Yeah.
And that's a good win for them.
Very good win. In Serie A, there was a good win for Milan. They beat Udinese 3-2, which Luke predicted, I believe. Or was it you,
Pete? Pete went for the draw.
I think I went for the draw.
You went for the draw. Luke predicted that. Pato. Is that his first game back?
He's been out for a while, yeah.
Great finish.
Is that his first game back?
Definitely his first goal back.
Okay. Great goal, though.
He might have played before.
Ronaldinho's ball through was amazing. Just round the corner, no look. Pinged it, about 40 yards.
Huntelaar scored 2 for them. Good to see him amongst the goals. Del Piero scored 2 for Juventus. The first one was a lovely one.
Yeah.
That was 3-2 as well.
Broke through the defence, then La Quinta played him in a little back heel.
The second one was never...
And a nice, cool finish.
The second one was never a penno. It wasn't even in the box. It was out of the box. And 2, he kicked his own heels.
Well, he scored.
Yeah, he scored it, yeah.
Inter dropped points with Napoli. They drew 0-0.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, Inter, they've had a... It's just a shame that none of the others below them can keep them going, because Inter do drop points every now and then. But
Hamsik absolutely wrapped the crossbar for Napoli as well.
Oh, and John Arnorisa scored an absolute...
Yeah, it was a great goal.
Smashing.
For Roma?
A smashing, apparently, he scored.
He's got a traction engine on that foot, though.
He does.
Yeah. Risa! Release the Kraken! Yeah. If you haven't seen that...
What's that
bit
in
of
Italian?
Commentary,
I thought they said it in Italian. That'd be amazing.
If you haven't seen that bit of commentary, we'll stick it on RambleTube.
Also, the Roma player Cicinho, the Brazilian right back, has gone back to Sao Paulo. Talking about, we often mention Brazilians going back to the Brazilian league. Well, there's another one, and he's gone back, as I say, to Sao Paulo on a 6-month loan deal. Mm. It could be extended if Sao Paulo advance into the latter.
He's a bit
stages.
Of a late bloomer, Cicinho.
He was, yeah.
I think, is it Cicinho?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was Cicinho.
Doesn't matter.
I've always heard it pronounced Cicinho.
A rose boy, any other name would smell as sweet, Marcus.
Yeah.
He's gone back for Carnival.
Yeah, they're all going back to Carnival, Pete. Yeah.
Well, it is Carnival.
You see that, guys? Unbelievable. Every single year.
Yeah.
Every Adriano, weekend off.
That's right. Flamengo gave Adriano the weekend off, or they've given him the weekend off.
A man with well-documented alcohol problems.
Yeah. Well, an ex-teammate of his, when they played together at the Flamengo Youth, he wrote Adriano a letter asking him to go easy on the celebration.
That's what it's come to. Yeah, I can't believe that is the best way to deal with Adriano's problems.
Did you see some of the boys at SouthAmericanFootball.co.uk sent us some pictures of the carnival?
Love is a classic. Wagner Love is there, like just caressing a Brazilian woman. Sitting on this like float, caressing.
There's a lovely one of Robinho and Dunga together.
Yeah, that's right.
Just
yeah.
enjoying a nice happy moment. And then Ronaldo, and it's not a white suit, but he's like white trousers and a white shirt on this sort of podium or something.
He's dressed like one of the Osmonds.
he is, like
a white, full white suit.
It's like Ashley and Cheryl everywhere. In that terrible photo.
Yeah, it is,
But isn't it weird? It's like they're paid to play football and they should have gone, all bets are off for a weekend. Yeah. It's like making a big carnival float dedicated to the dentist chair. Yeah.
The thing with the Flamengo, presumably they've got a game. Crazy. It's Libertadores at the moment. It's not the Champions League at the moment. They've got to sort out the scheduling of that carnival. Do it all in the off-season.
All right, Sepp.
Yeah.
Forget your own culture.
It's a Latino problem.
I'll tell you what.
What's happening here?
I'll tell you what, some of the Brazilians, like Ronaldinho, I reckon they'll disappear for a couple of days. There'll be a few pictures of them popping up.
It's just like the old Kanu trick, isn't it? Yeah. It's known as the Kanu. Just disappear for a couple of weeks after the African Cup of Nations, you know.
I'm not here next week. I'm going to Hartlepool's Carnival.
Boom!
Emails.
Straight off the mark. James or Jim, I'd like you to go first.
Rambleforce Ho and all that. Love your show, guys. Listen every week on my posty round in Twyford near Reading. After last week's show, I thought I'd check your website to watch the Nutter El Loco and his goalkeeping tricks. After doing this, I thought I'd have a look at more of his stuff on YouTube. After the 10th time of seeing the scorpion kick, I thought I'd have a look at my beloved Tottenham Hotspur on there. Well, I couldn't believe my eyes, the great Diego Maradona playing for Spurs in Ozzy's testimonial at the Lane. I'd never heard of this wonderful moment before and have had to watch it every day since to prove it really happened. Thank you, Ramble Folk, for leading me onto YouTube on my bored afternoon and finding this truly wonderful thing. Keep up the good work. And if you're ever in the Reading area and want a friendly, either 5-a-side or 11-a-side, my team, the mighty Kennet Vale, would be happy to beat you any time. That's from Richard Hopkins. Just in case we're ever in Reading for no reason with all our football kit. So, cheers, Richard. I haven't seen this. We'll have to whack this up on you, RambleTube, as well.
Yeah, I've seen it. He's no Bentley, is he?
Hey? There you go.
Speaking of which, did you see Matty Taylor giving Bentley the old big one? When Bolton played Spurs at the weekend, when they were lining up for corners or free kicks or whatever, Matt Taylor was going up to David Bentley and pretending to do his hair for him and stuff, and making out that he was a real big time. That's class.
That's amazing, though, that El Diego.
That's quite well known. There's a lot of pictures on the internet of it.
That's wonderful.
In a really tight 80s kit.
It angers me because he's keeping an Englishman out the side.
Yeah.
Even if it is a testimonial.
Exactly.
Or a charity match.
Harry wouldn't have it.
No, Harry wouldn't have it, Pete. No. Actually, Harry would probably try and sign him now.
Harry would have it if the price was right. Yeah.
Well, that's absolutely ridiculous to say such a thing, Luke.
Well, I like the boy, but he's contracted to Argentina, so.
Luke, have you got an email?
I have.
Read it.
Hello, Ramblers.
Hello.
Here is an email to show that my family might be close to giving footballers the kiss of death.
Ooh.
Cast your mind back to the summer of 1993, when our only glimpse of continental football came from a copy of World Soccer and the legendary Italia show on Channel 4 with James Richardson. My European football knowledge was quite limited back then, but I knew a little, so when I bumped into the Ajax team in an airport in the summer of 93, I knew I was in luck. They had just returned from playing the Makita tournament and were all checking in for their flight home. Always one to grab an autograph, I managed to get signatures from players that would one day become European greats. Seedorf, check.
Yes.
Lippmann, check. Overmars, check.
Oh, yeah.
Edgar Davids, check. Mm-hmm. The De Boer brothers, check. Ooh, check.
Excellent.
We're all there.
My giddy.
That's brilliant.
That's huge.
However, due to their young age, none were full internationals at the time. In fact, when I tried to place what position Van der Sar played, he told me that he pumped up the balls and made the tee. The moment came for them all to depart, so I had one chance to get a photo.
Yeah.
I could pick one player. Respecting seniority, I ignored all these future greats, much to my later embarrassment, and took a photo with the first choice Dutch international keeper, Stanley Menzo.
Stanley! Go on, Menzo!
I feel I must have the footballing kiss of death, as Stanley's career went to decline from that season on, and he soon dropped into the Belgian league, whilst those I disregarded went on to rule Europe and the world with their modern style of total football in 1995, obviously. As a PS, I'm not to be outdone, as my sister was travelling in Brazil 2 years ago and was in a nightclub when some little bloke, as she called him, tried to dance with her. She found out that this chap was none other than Romario.
Oh.
And bizarrely at this point, his scoring run towards the 1,000th goal dried up for a month before finally breaking his duck, proving I'm not the only one in my family with a footballing kiss of death. Thank you and great show, Bill McLaughlin.
That's a lovely bit of work.
That's great, Bill. It was a long email, but it was worth it. I think we can all agree.
Thanks for that,
first
Bill.
Mention of Stanley Menzo ever on this show.
That's one of his accolades.
Yeah.
It's up there.
Probably the last.
Pete.
I've got an email from a young man by the name, or he might be old, by the name of Stuart Roberts. Gentlemen, I wonder if you could make this announcement for me on your show. Following all the recent negative publicity, I have, after 12 minutes of great thought, taken the difficult decision to remove Chelsea captain John Terry from my fantasy football team, Legover Warsaw.
Legover Warsaw.
I realise that this will shock many people, but it's not a decision I have taken lightly. His continued inclusion in my team has led to continued disruption and concern about his performance from teammates, particularly Stephen Hunt of Hull and Andre Biquet of Burnley. I am happy to announce his replacement as Richard Dunn of Aston Villa.
A good choice.
He'll be available immediately. Thank you for your time. Any questions regarding my decision can be addressed to me via the Football Ramble, gentlemen. Yeah.
Quite ironic that John Terry is a captain of a team called Legover Warsaw.
To be honest, it's
strangely prophetic.
Yeah, in Latino fantasy football leagues, yeah, you'd probably get extra points.
It's a prerequisite.
Indiscretions, discretions.
Totally awesome discretions.
Did you see, speaking of Spurs and Bolton, did you see Gartside and Capello sit next to each other? And Capello's such a strong personality. The Gartside just sort of sat like away from him in his chair.
Wasn't he?
He was like, oh.
I've seen pictures of Fabio Capello in a pair of very small speedos.
I have as well.
And still respected him. And he's like a 50-odd year old man, yeah.
Is he not 61, Capello?
Oh, is he? He's even older, is he? Yeah.
I think so.
Right, Marcus, who's getting the champ manager goodie bag?
Bill McLaughlin.
Stanley Menzo's won it for you, Bill.
Exactly.
And I think you knew it would.
He's got it.
Is it just me, or just when I see a team of footballers at an airport, I always think they're just kicking it around like that advert?
Oh, the Brazilians. Oh,
I don't think I've ever seen a team of footballers at an airport, but I would definitely think
that. Who have I seen famous at an airport? No one, really. I don't think I've seen
anyone. I saw the drummer out of M People.
Well, Shovel.
And Nigel Mansell in Jersey. Oh,
together.
Yeah. Oh, I saw Gary McAllister once.
Did you?
Yeah, I said, hello, Gary. And he went, hello, how you doing?
Did he?
Yeah.
He's got a good impression of him.
Thank you very much.
He does good Scottish, doesn't he? Gives good Scott.
Yeah. Well, Gary.
Is it profile time, Marcus?
It is. Usually I do say that.
Well, why don't we let the player introduce himself?
Sorry?
Hi, I'm Ali Day.
Ali
Dai. That is superb. Today's profile is Ali Dai.
Not to be confused
with Ali Dyer.
No.
Yes.
Hi, I'm Ali Dai.
Ali Dai.
Ali Dai.
That's right. That is wonderful. I genuinely didn't know that was going to happen. Oh, Merry Christmas, everybody.
I found your notes, Marcus.
Merry Christmas, everybody. That's right. The profile is on Ali Dai, who is a former striker and captain for the Iranian national team. And definitely one of the best strikers in the history of Asian football. And possibly world football. damn it all.
Certainly one of the most prolific.
That's right, that's right. And considered the best Asian striker by many in the history of the beautiful game.
It's interesting because Asia is such a big continent.
It's huge.
And we were talking about this earlier, weren't we, Marcus? We've not actually got an Asian representative in the Hall of Fame.
That's right. Nice. And this man is a...
Who better?
A glaring omission.
Yeah, who better?
I think. But I don't think people... Or maybe they do, but... In Asia, especially in Iran, they love football. They cannot get enough of it. I think the biggest attendance for a World Cup qualifier was in Iran, and I think it was over 100,000. So yeah, they cannot get enough of it. And Ali Dai is an absolute legend. That word is grossly overused, but he really is a legend in Iran and all of Asia. He was a late starter into football. It's always funny to hear that, a guy who's gone on to achieve so much was a late starter.
He was a late finisher, to be fair.
It's like the old Ian Wright, he didn't start till very late on. Lots of players.
They are.
Les Fernand!
Sir Les, if you don't mind.
Yeah, come on.
You're going to crowbar him properly.
And so when Dai had finished his studies, he got into football. And it could be said he had a thunderous shot. It was very strong in the air. He's a big lad. He was...
6'3 or something, isn't
6'3, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he was an immediate hit in domestic football. But his prowess, his goal-scoring prowess, soon earned him an international call-up, and he made his debut for Iran in June 93. And he got his first goal against Chinese Taipei in 94. In the big one, I think we can all agree.
El Clasico.
That's right.
El Clasico? I don't know.
Yeah. Arguably Dai's finest hour for Iran came against South Korea in the 96 Asian Cup, a match that he described as the most unforgettable of his life. Iran were trailing 2-1. Mm-hmm. Picture the scene. It's early in the second half, and Dai thought, I'm having this.
Yeah.
He took the game by the scruff of the neck.
Do you think, pop, bang, lovely?
Well, he will have done
in
a minute, because he set up his teammate as is for the equaliser. It's 2-2.
Yeah.
Not good enough for them to go through.
It's game on, though.
It's game on. So what does he do? He scores 4 goals.
Ooh.
6-2, pop, bang, lovely.
Pop, bang, lovely, and another one. That's more than a hat-trick. Yeah.
That's a haul.
Yeah.
He's got a haul.
It's a haul. Officially a haul.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And he finished top goal scorer at that Asian Cup with 8 goals, which is the highest tally scored by an individual at the Asian Cup. So if you look at the top scorers at the Asian Cup, he's got the most.
Mm.
Trust me, because I did.
Yeah.
He moved to Qatar side Al Sadd for a season. And then he moved to Germany, to Bielefeld, who were newly promoted to the Bundesliga. Now,
bit of a step up for him.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have said so.
But, I mean, people won't know much about Iranian football, and of course, I don't think neither do we, you know. But... moving to Germany, to the Bundesliga at that time, for an Asian player was massive.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
Absolutely
it's
massive.
It's such an underrepresented area. It's for the size of the continent that it is. The
biggest continent in the world.
It's such an underrated area, you know. Yeah. And that's why it's important to highlight players like this who've actually come here and come to Europe and done some stuff, because, you know, it's important.
And this isn't that long ago.
No, I mean, no.
It's
that's
not like
right.
When we talk about Eusebio breaking through and stuff. This is huge, you know.
Yeah, no, big time. He was only there for a season. And then he was scouted by Bayern Munich.
That is massive. That is absolutely huge.
Yeah.
That is like someone from a little village in Wales going to play for the Chicago Bulls. Do you know what I mean?
It really is
huge.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You know, and he was single-handedly scouted by the great Franz Beckenbauer, president of the
great
club.
Great stuff.
Wow.
Who really rated him?
He's seen a few strikers in his time.
He has.
The Kaiser.
Yeah. So that was one of the first big money moves for an Asian, you know, an Asian player. It's just, again, really unheard of, you know. Mm. What I love is in Germany, he was known to be a true gentleman. Everyone used to say he was so respectful to the fans, and everybody loved him. And he got the nickname The Gentleman.
Oh, nice.
which is a lovely touch. Yeah. He became the first Asian player to play in the Champions League.
Yeah.
It was incredible, really.
Yeah. Great.
But unfortunately, at Barton, his now this is crazy. His playing time was interrupted quite a bit because the Iranian national team had a bit of an awkward schedule.
Right.
So he was off playing for Iran a lot of the time.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is a funny one, really, to think that.
It's a shame he had to make the choice rather than be able to do both.
Yeah, exactly. Well, which of course all players do. You know,
I mean, it
really.
Happens. It happens. I mean, because let's take the Premier League, for example. It's such a worldwide represented league now.
Yeah.
You always get players hopping off their games and stuff.
Yeah.
And that's why you get a lot of...
Well, the African Cup of Nations. Well,
yeah. The controversy of the Cup of Nations. And also players like, you know, your Tim Cahill's have to go all the way to Australia and stuff. And,
yeah.
And your South American players as well, because their schedules are vastly different.
That's
it's
right.
A shame for Dyer, because, like you say, he was a real trailblazer and he wanted to be making an impression.
That's it.
And at the same time, if he has to nip off every 10 minutes, it's not ideal, is it?
No. And also, I think the Iranian football team, or the management of the Iranian football team, is very much closer to the government, for example, than it would be over here. So,
oh, big time.
I wouldn't say not if I was kind of...
That's right.
Iranian.
Well, Iran did qualify for France in 98, and he was a part of that team that beat the US 2-1 in that very famous match. But they went out in the first round, unfortunately. But back at Bayern, as I said, very little playing time. You know, they were one of the biggest sides in the world at that point. I mean, they finished runner-up in the Champions League final. They won the Bundesliga and the League Cup.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got a lot of quality in there. And if he's, as you say, going off every now and then...
Well, it's going to be hard for him to break back.
It's going to be very hard for him, and it was very hard for him. So he was only there a season, then he moved to Hertha Berlin. But Hertha Berlin were a very good side then. I've missed out that in that same year, around that time in 1990, he won Asian Player of the Year.
Oh, good. Good lad.
Very much indeed. So, yeah, he went to play for Hertha Berlin, and again, he was playing in the Champions League with them.
Yeah, they had a pretty decent side around that sort of time.
That's right, yeah. And there was he put a couple of good performances in. I remember one against AC Milan, I think.
Mm.
But he finished their top scorer, I think, in the Champions League that year with three goals.
Okay.
Yeah, three goals. Unfortunately, after Hertha Berlin in 2002, they failed to qualify for World Cup 2002 Iran. And he was kind of winding down slightly there. So he went off to play... in Dubai with Al Shabab in the United Arab Emirates League. And he was 34 at this point. But if we fast forward a few years, he did help Iran qualify for the 2006 World Cup, where unfortunately they went out in the first round. But, you know, that's a wonderful achievement, getting to the World Cup.
But they're not exactly brimming sort of with household names. You know,
that's right,
You know, he's obviously the standout player for them, and he was for quite a long period of time. So
his last game was only 37, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah, I think so, yeah. Well,
he's got a lot of goals at international level.
Well, you're right, but he did retire from international football in 2006. But he retired with quite some accolade. He is the world's all-time leading goal scorer in international matches with 109 goals.
That's massive. That is absolutely massive. Immediately you think, oh, that'll probably be Pelé or someone like that.
Yeah.
But no, not at all.
Absolutely. He did that in 149 games for Iran.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not as if it's one in two, you know. It's not 200 matches
super
to get there.
Exactly.
Although, from what I've read about him, he did have quite a lot of games where he'd get like three or four.
I mean,
he did. He's a standard out there. But clearly he was so... It was just head and shoulders above that. And it's a real shame that he didn't get a sort of what you could perceive as a proper chance at Bayern Munich to show what he could do.
No, that's right. I mean, it's, you know, again, people might say, well, the quality of the opposition, but you've still got to put them away.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, you know, they are playing actually better sides than you think, but he's not exactly got Beckham whipping in the balls to him,
no,
you know.
Exactly, yeah. It also takes players like that to really, you know, inspire a younger generation of players in that area.
Right.
Like we say, it's a massively populated sort of huge area of the world, which is very underrepresented in terms of football. So, you know, it takes players like him to actually go there and do it, to get players young players enthusiastic and into football, and hopefully the whole sort of area can improve.
And you've got to think, if he's travelling to these international matches, it's not like South America.
Well, Iran to South Korea is a long old hop.
It's a big old bit of land to get over and stuff. But, I mean, I think it kind of tallies with when people won't take chances on players that are going to be disappearing to the African nations in the middle of the season.
That's right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If the years have fallen where they're going to be travelling a lot, there's not a lot of point in getting in someone. Because usually footballers only last a couple of seasons at a club anyway. You know what I mean? It's rare that you get longer than that. So, I mean, it probably didn't make a lot of sense for a European club to get hold of him, really.
Well, especially if he's not going to be around. If he's always popping away and coming back again, it's not ideal.
That's right. I mean, just quickly going back on a point you said, Luke, about inspiring a generation, you know, I think, you know, even more, I mean, we talk about Asia, even more specifically the Middle East, you know, we've seen the likes of Japan and South Korea, other Asian sides do really well, you know, more specifically in the Middle East, that that we haven't seen many teams from there, in many players. And so this guy really is a real pioneer and a real inspiration, as you
absolutely.
Say. But he scored the 109 goals in 149 matches, and he is ranked among the top 12 of the world's most capped players, which is a
it's a great achievement in itself.
It's an incredible achievement, you know. After playing in Dubai, he did go back to Persepolis, his old side in Iran, and then and a few other Iranian sides he played for, including Saipa. And he scored on the final day of the season in his last match as a professional footballer to help Saipa win the Persian Gulf Cup, which is the Iranian league.
Great stuff.
That's brilliant.
A fitting end.
The Persian Gulf Cup sounds so exotic.
Yeah, it does.
It sounds like a knockout tournament. That is the name of the Iranian National League. He went on to manage his old club, Saipa, and the Iranian national team. Unfortunately, he failed to qualify for the World Cup for 2010 with the Iranian national team, and he was sacked. But he was kind of, I think he was doing a bit of dual management between the two.
Mm.
So it was very difficult for him. But he currently manages his old team, Persepolis. But when he was at Saipa, he did win them the Iranian championship. So, you know, decent coach, I
think. Yeah, that's all right.
Yeah. Interestingly enough, he owns a company which manufactures a lot of the football jerseys. And they make the jerseys for the national team.
Hmm.
Giving something back.
He's he's part of the football fabric over there, isn't he? Yeah?
Hey,
oh, excellent, excellent.
Wonderful. You're welcome.
Beautiful. In an interview, he was once asked, having scored over a century of international goals, can you reveal what your scoring secrets are? And the great man replied, only the mothers can give birth to goal scorers. You need to be born a goal scorer. It is something about instinct, but you have to improve yourself with training, and I am no exception.
Welcome. Ali Dai.
Welcome.
Get in.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the end of the show. I hope you've had a lovely time. I have.
And that's the main thing.
Screw the lot of you.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, the email address is podcast@thefootballramble.com. And if you want to check out the website with all sorts of blogs and Ramble Tube, then why not go to thefootballramble.com? Betway predictions. What have we got?
I've gone for Gasparini's men Genoa to beat Udinese at home this year. This week, after
this
my
year.
Yeah, after my correct prediction of Milan to beat Udinese.
All right,
he got wrong.
Who's that Genoa?
I did get it wrong.
Who's that Genoa player you like the name of?
Aqua Fresca.
Good one.
Means fresh water.
Yeah.
Nice. Aqua Fresca's for your family.
Not just a pretty player. Ah.
Must be the bigot soda. Ooh.
Nice.
James, what have you got?
I've gone for Inter to beat Sampdoria because I just think Inter really are going to sort of open up a gap and people aren't taking the chances to sort of dent into their lead, and I think they'll have it.
That's a home banker, isn't it?
Yeah.
For saying that, Cassano's going to open up your face.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
Cassano's not being picked, pal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So he'll be over here.
Being picked on. Last time I went for Real Madrid to beat Xerez, and in a shock result, I was right.
Yeah, well done for that. I never saw that coming.
I went for a draw last week. Didn't work. Lucky went for the win, and yeah, he
did
won.
Work.
He did work. So this week, I'm going to be a little bit more positive. Fulham win.
Yes.
Home banker against Birmingham.
Yes!
Roy's got them scoring. He's going to do it. He's going to end the season with a flourish.
Marcus, put him out of his misery.
Tell him there's loads of the season left as well.
Yeah. I have gone for Arsenal to win at home to Sunderland. Interestingly
enough, that's going to be a win. Sunderland are woeful at the moment.
Last time Sunderland won a league match, I believe, was against Arsenal.
Oh, was it?
That's incredible.
Well, if you want to get involved with us and bet against us, and or bet on your own even, betway.com/thefootballramble, fill your boots.
Fill them. Say goodbye, Pete.
Yeah, goodbye.
Say goodbye, Lukey.
Goodbye.
And say goodbye, James or Jim.
Goodbye.
We're all off to Rio Carnival.
Cheers.
Woo! Woo!
Viva!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.